You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Want Institute. The Want Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Want Training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. The Want Institute offers instruction on the principles of communication with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills and the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of Want Training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information on any of the groups or services, please feel free to call me at the office at 949-723-0338. Or you can send me an email to info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. And hopefully the call-in number for people to call in to have questions answered or even just to check in, see what Dr. Pat's up to. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Tonight we have Andy Shaw. He's a relationship communication coach taught by Dr. Pat along with me. He'll be my co-host tonight. Andy, do you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Hi. Hopefully we'll get some call-ins. Do you have any topic you want to talk about tonight, Andy? I know last week we were talking about attachment style, and a great book to read is called, and I think the attachment styles, we have different attachment styles. It's called Attached, the New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. And the author is Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. Great book. Did you get that book, Andy?
I bought it, but I'm not ready yet. I'm going to my parents' house tomorrow, and I got the audiobook also.
Oh, so you'll listen to it in the car. Great. Yeah. My attachment style was avoidant. I would pull people in, but then I felt insecure because of my growing up. I never had the constant loving. It was always inconsistent. So my attachment style is when I pull people in, I feel that they're going to leave me or be inconsistent. So I push them away before they can hurt me as a self-regulating coping mechanism. Then you have the anxious who they were neglected love. So they pull people in and always want more, more, more love. And then if you're lucky enough to get the secure, do you know what the secure is, Andy?
I think so, but why don't you tell me?
The secure is the consistent parenting where your parents were there in a consistency. So your goal is to be a secure attachment style where you can be comfortable with people and you're not doing the love me more or anxious where you jump on them wanting more, better, or different, or you push them away. So strive to be secure as best we can. And that seems to, I have a lot of my clients, they call me and they get nice. That I had a call in the other day and nice girl. She had a wonderful guy that she dated. And she pushed him away, and she knew she pushed him away. She wasn't being affectionate. She was cold. And it was her insecurity that he would eventually find out who she really was and leave her. So she pushed him away before he could leave her. And then when he did leave her, he said that he broke it up with her then she's mad because she tried to explain and defend why, you know, she didn't mean to push him away. So it's a push-pull, and it's very hard on the other person in the relationship.
Sue, does the book tell you what to do about it once you identify it?
It sure does. The first thing is to identify what attachment style you are. And then you have to be aware of it when you're going out meeting people. Because this person, when she called me, she went through the whole list of knowing what she did without me even have to telling her. So she knew what she did. But she just couldn't stop doing it. Her body went into automatic pilot and did what it wanted to do to protect her. She wasn't aware of it until it was too late. So the book does, but unfortunately, doing the work, it's hard because, like you and me, we can show people what they're doing, but they have to do the work. And that includes reading a lot of books, practicing a lot of tools, being aware of what you're doing, and taking the courage to push the arrow through and doing the work to get to a better place. Tell me your description of how to do the work, Andy.
I don't know. All I know is what I did, which is show up every week with Dr. Pat when she was doing her Orange County show.
Uh-huh.
LA once in a while. I had a notebook on me. I talked to you guys. I talked to her. I talked to other people, made friends, just tried to learn as much as I can and put it into action.
That's the word, action. That's the part that people have a hard time doing is to putting into action.
Yeah, I made conscious choices like to go back to a relationship that wasn't the best for me, but I wanted to work through it and that person was available. So. Uh-huh. I didn't tell them what I was doing. I just kind of showed up and did our relationship. And then as problems occurred, I put stuff into action and see how it worked out. And for me, and I'm sure everybody I've talked to, when you're doing something new, it's super scary.
Yeah, okay. You knew you had to do something different, were you hesitant on doing it? Because we get comfortable doing the same routine over and over.
I think, you know, like I said, I want to lose weight, and I haven't done that yet, but I'm not at my bottom yet. And I was really at my bottom. Like, I was done with where I was at, and I was done with who I was, and I just wanted to be someone different.
That's what usually when you've hit rock bottom and you're tired of the same thing over and over, the same results.
Yeah, there was no other option but to change.
Okay.
That's the same way like when I joined the Navy and did boot camp. I'm going to put all my life into this and make it work to the best of my ability. And where I've done that, I've been pretty successful at it. And where I've not done that, I failed at it miserably.
Well, you know, at least you did the work, which is the once you're aware of it and you do the work, there can only be better results because then it becomes a habit or a behavior change. So it does help. Unfortunately, a lot of people have to experience a painful lesson, like she pushed a great guy away to learn this painful lesson. But that's sometimes when you have to hit rock bottom to build yourself up because pain, as Dr. Allen said, pain is a sign that change is needed or change is in progress. So being in pain is actually a good sign to move you forward. It doesn't necessarily feel good, but part of processing your emotions is to handle pain and process your feelings. And what I'm finding is a lot of the masculine women have a hard time processing feelings. Why do you think that is? They're all
probably because they don't want to face them.
Yeah. They're always in their head, logically, strategically. And when I ask them how they feel, they can't come up with a lot of feeling words. So I give them a feeling chart so they could start expressing feelings. And that's a start on being feminine. I had a call a lady write in. She was married And she has one child, and it was her husband was the only person that she's had sex with or been with. And she's currently seeing a younger guy. And unfortunately, she did not read Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do. So she's in a relationship that's, I hear it's convenience. He's told her he doesn't love her, but he just wants to play. And now she's asking me how she can get him on board to be more into the relationship, because she wants him to be more active and dating her more or less. And I said, he is the way he is. We can't change him. And since he's told you he only wants to play, he that's what he's negotiated. You may not like it, but he's kind of told you where he's at. So what would you tell this lady, Andy, if you were giving her, if she's listening out there?
I like the analogy of men are like, we'll just say utilities.
Okay.
I'm a toaster. I can be a toilet. You know, I can be a drill. I can be a pickup truck. I can be a Yugo little car. Like, if what you want, say, is a truck, you know, I'm just going to use that because I'm a guy, and you want to haul things around, a Yugo, a toaster, and a toilet are not going to work.
Okay.
And neither is anything else except somebody who's a truck. So you have to ask yourself the question. You know, you don't have to do anything, right? But if you want to get to where you want to go, to want to be, you have to do something. And so the way something is ask yourself some questions. Is this person, to use the analogy, the Yugo I want, do I want efficiency or do I want utility? And if this person's unwilling or unable to give it to me, then either accept them as they are.
Yes, I told her that.
Or reject them as they are.
I told her that too.
Either pay for the car or wait until you can afford the payment later and maybe turn in or whatever. But if you don't like the car, don't like the guy, and you stick with it anyways and it frustrates you to no end, that's toleration. That only hurts you.
That's what she's in, and she's facing right now, is tolerating, and she wants him to step up because she doesn't want to break it off, but she wants to have a better relationship with him. And I'm finding out that she also is more of the masculine energy. And I figure he's probably the feminine energy because he's not really pursuing her. And then he's also flirting with other women on the side too, which is even more painful for this woman. But well, she's not ready to leave yet. I told her, when you're ready, you'll leave.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing he's going to do. Yugos don't turn into trucks. Toasters don't turn into trucks. Nothing turns into a truck by itself. You either have the truck or you don't.
Good point. So, yeah.
Decide if that is what he has. I mean, he could be a wagon. I mean, right? You get some stuff in there, but not a lot. Does that wagon meet your needs for now? And accept it as it is until you decide that you need a bigger wagon or a bigger truck or an 18-wheeler or whatever it is you want. So figure out what it is you want and don't want, and I'll rearrange that. Decide, not figure out, but decide, write down what you do not want and what you do want if you're the feminine. And then somewhere on there, write down, you know, my truck, my wagon, has to be at least 4 foot by 6 foot. So the Red Rover wagon, whatever it was called, is not going to qualify.
Yeah.
You know, a mini truck might qualify, whatever, right? Okay. Just make a choice.
Unfortunately, the painful lessons are that these women, they find men they like and they want more, better, or different. And I can't help them with that. The model he is, we can tell him things like, you know, put the tube on the top on the toothpaste, but we can't change his behavior. And that's a hard one for the women to get. If he likes to play with you, there's chances are we can't tell him that he's got to change dating you. So that's a hard one for people to understand. We cannot change people, no matter what we want them to do. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, the model car you have is the model car you have. If you want a different model, you got to go to the store.
And the other person, not take the model of the man and redesign him.
Yeah, I mean, that takes breaking the whole thing down, and he's not willing to do that, so you can't break him down. You got to either get a new car or accept the car the way it is.
I know, yeah. And in the market. Have you experienced any online dating? Because what I'm finding out from my women is most of the guys on online dating, it's a lot of wanting to just hook up. And I tell the women, it's a numbers game. There's a large number of men that it's easy to find women, but there are a few that are on there for serious relationships.
Yeah, and that's where boundaries come in. Like, say what you want, say what you don't want. Like, we talked about that one guy, right? He had, I think, a 500-character limit, and he wrote 499 characters.
Oh, that's too much information, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, that was entirely overboard.
Oh, yeah.
He was looking to fill out that 500th character.
Okay.
With something.
Well, when you give people too much information, I think you have to meet the people to see if there's chemistry before telling them your whole everything from when you were born to where you are now. Leave some imagination. Give them the characteristics on what you're looking for. Your morals, values, you know, pictures are important. And even then, you could still get in category of still be labeled as a hookup. But using Dr. Allen's material, you date three men and date them at least three times to see if you're compatible, see if you have good communication, and see if you're going to the same place, both on the same, you know, marriage, children. And then you can start negotiating when he does want to have sex or be intimate. You have that contract about exclusivity, longevity, and headed towards marriage. And a lot of women are afraid to say that. So they give away the free sex, and then they're wondering why the guy doesn't call. I know it's probably uncomfortable for you to say, but let me ask you from a man's point of view. If on the second date, a man asks you to go away for the weekend, and a lot of women say he just wants to hook up, but sometimes they do just want to. And then she went away, but they did no sex, and then he hasn't called her back. What is a man's perspective on that?
So,
and why would a man want to take her away after only meeting her for one date on a second date? Give me your male's perspective.
Well, passions run high. It doesn't take long to get excited about somebody.
Okay.
So the more you spend time with them, the more time you spend with them, the more quicker you can get to know them, right?
That's true. Okay.
I mean, it takes 200 hours or whatever for an adult to make a new friend. So you're trying to run out that clock and see if you can be friends. And then you're running out that clock to see where the boundaries are. You know, how quickly, how easily am I able to get inside of you? And what are my goals? Do I just want to get inside and bounce? Or am I looking to see what your character is and I want to stick, I'm looking for a long-term relationship. So if you get angry at something, but you didn't set any boundaries, what are you getting angry at? I didn't know there's a stop sign because it doesn't exist, but you're mad at me because I didn't stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I mean, getting out of your home space and into an unknown area helps people define their real character.
That's true, where you can spend like 24/7 with them. They'll put their guards down and you can see more of the real person. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get unknown restaurants. You're going to meet unknown servers. You're going to meet unknown hostesses at a restaurant, whatever. You're inevitably going to have problems because nothing runs perfect, right?
Yeah.
And you can see how they handle it. So it's a quick way to weed people out.
That's true. So, okay. Let me ask you this question. Should the woman tell them up front she's not interested in having sex, or tell them at the place when they start making out? What is preferably, to be up front before you actually go, or wait until you get in the hotel room and he tries to make the pass at you?
Oh, I'd rather be up front. It's been a weekend with a girl who said, hey, we're not going to have sex. I said, I don't care. I just want to spend time with you.
Okay. That's what I tell them too. Just, you know, because they go, well, I don't want to have sex. I said, yeah, there's a script that you say. And it's a nice script just to let them know. And if the guy, that was his intention, he may cancel that. But it's not a bait and switch where you go and then there's a confrontation in the hotel room.
Can you relay a script for our listeners?
Well, I think it more or less is the guy goes, you know, he'll say, oh, I want to go away from the weekend for the weekend. And the woman would say, well, could you know, that sounds wonderful. What will our accommodations be? And he'll say, oh, I thought we'd have the same room. And she'd say, oh, that sounds wonderful. However, I'm not comfortable having intercourse or sex until I'm in a committed relationship headed towards marriage, but I'm more than happy to stay in the same room. I just want to let you know ahead of time. What do you think about that? And then he can decide. Or if she may want her own room too, she can say, I'm more than happy to go away with you, but I'd feel more comfortable if we had two separate beds because I'm not comfortable, you know, having intercourse or sexual activities until I get to know somebody and I'm headed into a long-term committed relationship headed towards marriage. And then he knows up front and he might say, oh, that's fine. And they may go and they usually most of them have two separate beds seems to work out. I haven't had too many that requested separate rooms because the women want to get to know the men as well.
Yeah, I've had both. On the times when they, mind you, I don't do this very often, but on times when they want their own room, I'll get two keys and I'll say, you know, you have total visiting rights. Here's the key.
Okay.
You know, whenever we end the night and you go to your room, if you want to come back, you're welcome to it anytime you like.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you don't, but that at least opens the door for who are you? And what kind of person are you? What's your character? Do you really want to get to know me or not? Or are you just in this for a free, you know, outing? So it's, you know, say $150, $200 a night, but it's a lot cheaper than 10 years and you're still frustrated.
Oh, okay. That's true.
So,
So to change the subject, I know we're going to, Andy is a want training coach. He teaches communication tools and he also works with couples and he's going to start a men's group, but he also is available for privates. And I think some people may have met him at the LA seminars and Orange County seminars. He's been with Dr. Allen for how many years?
Since 2013.
Oh, okay. That's quite a few years. So if anybody wants to inquire about Andy's services, please feel free to contact me at the office at 949-723-0338. I'm going to give out the call-in number for the radio show, 323-203-0815. I know we have listeners out there, and we hope that people will call in and give us any kind of update on how Dr. Pat has helped them with their relationships. I had a lady yesterday that's been with Pat for 28 years and finally got it. She said she finally got it. And she's in one of Pat's groups. Pat still does groups. She's kind of weeding them out. And I'm taking over the ladies' groups. But this lady has been with Pat, Dr. Pat, for 28 years. And I've had her a few times, this lady. And she finally, it finally sunk in. And she was so happy that she finally got it. And that's the way it is. It could take you 1 year, 5 years, or 28 years. But it does eventually stick. That's, I do know.
Hey, so can you, what's the 949 number again?
The office number is 949-723-0338. And if anybody wants to go to our website, we have a free stream video of Dr. Allen teaching her material. It's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It's about a 45-minute long video. And the One Institute, we're here. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. So we do have a lot of services to carry Dr. Pat's message. Dr. Pat, unfortunately, she's turned the radio show over to me because she can no longer hear the callers. And she does read lips, but unfortunately, this video where she can see the lips. So she's going to be 91 years old on the 21st. Hopefully I'll be sending out a newsletter and I'll start advertising on Facebook. I want to start bringing her message back up. I think we took a little turn for it, but I want to start promoting it now because I've got Andy on board, myself on board. There's Kelly Ward, Andy Shaw. I'm tired today.
Hey, what's the website that they can go to for that video?
www.drpatallen.com. And it's under free access. There's a tab and it's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. And it's about 45 minutes of Dr. Allen teaching her material. And it has the relationship contract items. I always tell couples to go in there and watch that to see Dr. Allen demonstrate how to do the relationship contract items because that seems to be a big problem. This one particular lady that I talked to that finally got after 28 years, her boyfriend lives kind of out in the desert and she lives in the beach area. He likes living out in the desert area because of his company. She goes out there to visit him, but it's boring. So they have to try to negotiate where they're going to live. And unfortunately, it's coming to be a deal breaker. She doesn't want to move inland to the desert after living out on the coast. And he doesn't want to come into the coastal area because his business is out there. So finally she said, well, then date somebody down the street. She just gave up and he got scared. And now he's chasing her again. She just gave up. So that's what it took. She just wasn't going to deal with it anymore because she was bending herself into a pretzel to try and accommodate this man. And he wouldn't budge. So she finally was ready to let him go to find somebody that he's compatible with.
I think that's awesome.
Yes. And I said, that's the key. You no longer, that was that empathy and apathy. She just wasn't going to be a pretzel anymore because.
Yeah. Learn a lesson.
Dr. Pat said, if you give in to something that you're not comfortable with, you will get resentful.
I love that.
Yeah. So, and she's going to be 81 and she's like, she just realized she thought that she was acting like she was 40, wanting to have the white picket fence, the perfect family. And she says, I'm not going to be here another 40 years. I should be happy with the time I have with him. So
awesome. Yeah. That's great. I'm happy for her.
Yeah. So she's an old time. So that was an update. Let's see. What else do you want to talk about, Andy? You bring up some topics that interest you.
I like work stuff too. Like these tools. Like we talk about them for relationships, but relationships are family, they're friends, they're at work, they're everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And knowing these, like I like the emotional talk versus the rational talk.
Yeah.
That has kept me out of trouble, even when my emotions run high like they did yesterday.
How do you ground yourself not to get emotional? Because people get triggered and they instead of staying rational, they always go emotional. What would you suggest people do to stay rational when somebody pushes their buttons?
Breathe, take a moment, just take a,
yeah. You
know, it's like public speaking, right? Like no one knows you're nervous. No one knows you're freaking out on the inside. Just take a moment and decide, how am I going to respond to this? And that's your response, right? Instead of a reaction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say or do something because I'm triggered. I'm going to make a decision. on what I'm going to say or do nothing.
Uh-huh.
And having that ability, which is nothing more than a decision, which we all can do, is powerful. It's liberating because you realize you have more control over yourself than you maybe originally gave yourself credit for.
Uh-huh.
So, the steps of learning, the awareness, the awe factor, we underline the first three letters of awe and awareness. Okay. Then it's assimilate, where you feel like an ass because you're changing your words. And then it's actualize, where you act out who you're always meant to be. So the decision lies between the awe factor and the ass factor, where you're like, okay, I know there's something here to change, and I feel weird doing it, but I'm going to do it anyways. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I want to talk real quick about Outwitting the Devil.
Please tell. I listened to the video on that years ago. I need to pull it back up. Tell the audience what it's about.
I'll tell them after I tell my story.
Okay.
I talked at the beginning of the radio show that I had failed in not putting things into action. I had knowledge but no action, and so the things I didn't put action into, I failed. But the book, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, talks about how failure is just a state of mind. You only fail when you choose to fail.
Okay.
There's a different thing again. So until you choose to fail, it's just a temporary setback. But not one, according to the book, not one in 10,000 people will do a thing four or more times after they fail three times.
You mean they'll do it three times, but they won't do it the fourth time?
Yeah, and they'll quit.
Oh, they'll quit.
Because they quote-unquote failed three times, and it's just a failure. And that's only failed because that's how you've chosen to look at it.
Oh, okay. Would you say that's kind of like, the law of attraction? How what you think about comes about, giving up and stuff? Or do you know anything about, the vibrational energy?
Yeah, I know a little bit. I mean, there's a new job opening right now, and I'm going to apply for it.
Yeah.
And as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to also go home. I'm going to write a PowerPoint, and I'm going to do my introduction as if I have the job.
That's it. As if you already have it. Yeah.
Yeah. So as if I already have the knowledge, as if I'm already healthy, there's that as if thing again, right? Act as if until the feelings follow.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it act as if until life happens, right? Until you get this confirmed, this new job, this new effort, this new relationship, whatever it is you're trying to go for. Have it prepared for today. Like if that person walks in your life, are you even prepared to be the person that you need from them and they need from you? And if you're not, it might be a good day to start. Because if you're waiting to do something until that person arrives, you're not qualified to be in that position anymore or just yet. So have all the qualifications ahead of time.
Yeah, like people with dating, how they may go on a couple of bad dates and they put out, there's no good guys out there. I'm never going to find anybody. I'm not good enough. I'm fat. I don't know how to talk. When they send that message out, that's what they get back. Yeah, you have to be confident and just keep plowing through. Like you said, what you said? Keep going forward till you make it. What was Dr.
Anderson
says that quote?
Yeah, act as if until the feelings follow.
Oh, that's the quote, yeah.
I mean, there are people, I know a person who was in the LA show, and she was just a drop-dead gorgeous girl.
Yes.
And she was worried about one little scar on her pinky.
Okay.
I'm like, is this okay? I'm like, and said her name, and I was like, I have 18 scars, 19 scars from the top of my skull almost to my ankles.
Well, was she getting boyfriends or dates?
Oh, yeah. She was getting some super rich people that were sitting her all over.
Was she pushing them away?
She was just unhappy.
Oh.
Still learning the work.
Okay.
Haven't talked to her in a while, but, she was worried about things that most people don't care about. I'm certainly in no position to say, hey, you have a scar. I'm not going to like you. Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, she was punishing herself. And when she did that, it projects out to the other men. So you might, they might read through that too.
Oh, yeah. The energy is there. Like, there's a girl at work who's is just always happy. I don't know how she does it.
That's true. Don't you hate those people? It's like they just walk around floating on air. And the amazing thing, people migrate to them. They're drawn to those people.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love this girl. And I barely know her. But, I used to be her until life happened. I'm not quite that way anymore. But I love the positivity. I love the smiles. I love the easy conversation. Like, I just want to be part of that. I just want to be part of her life. So,
does she let you into her life?
What's that?
Does she let you into her life?
Oh, yeah, we're friends, which is all I wanted. Okay. She's really young. I'm like twice her age.
Okay.
But, then there's the people who are always grumpy and like, okay, just stay away from me because I want nothing to do with you.
Because their energy will rub off on you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that'll, like, that energy has, like, tentacles. It'll just come out and grab you.
Let me ask you something. There's some people, what would you think about people that, when people have a breakup or something, they want to go and share it with their friends. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? To kind of vent, to get, to kind of get the sympathy from friends. I don't think it's a good idea unless you maybe go to a professional. Because when you go in and vent to your girlfriends, you may get back with that guy and then you've bashed him and stuff. And they're going to probably see him in a different light. So you have to be careful who you go and share your information with.
I mean, I remember Dr. Pat saying, talk to whoever will listen.
Talk to whoever will listen, but also do you need permission to talk using her tools? Other than that, you're intruding on their boundaries.
Assuming you have permission to have the conversation, talk to whoever will listen.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get bashing. Like, it's one way to look at it.
Uh-huh.
It's also, here's what happened, here's what they said, here's what they did. It's not what I would do, or it's not what I had done. It's not what I like. And we complain about this just because it's not what we're familiar with. But that person did something that they did. They know how to do to survive.
Uh-huh.
Right? Quote unquote, right or wrong, appropriate or inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
It's just a different way to look at it. So, I still say talk to whoever you want, whoever will let you.
Yeah.
Because that's how we heal, and that's what Dr. Pat said.
Okay. But what about people that want you to tell them what to do? Is that a gray area on somebody else telling you what decisions to make in your life?
Well, those are boundaries I like. Those are boundaries. So I'm like, I can either share my life with you, and you can say, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Or I can share my life with you and you can give me unwanted advice, which will adversely affect our friendship.
Okay.
Or I can share with you, you can give me advice and I will highly welcome it. Which scenario are we in?
Okay.
And some people give you advice. I got a friend that gives me advice and I don't want it. And I just tell her I'm advised out. I can't do this anymore. Got to go. I didn't ask for this. I don't want this. And I've had enough.
Uh-huh. Okay. So,
that's where boundaries come in, right?
Uh-huh.
What are your boundaries? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to accept? What are you willing to reject? And if you're the listener, say, hey, you know, I will listen to you, but I want to, at the end of it, give my opinions. Are you willing to listen to it?
Okay. So that's a great communication tool. So let's say somebody wants to come and vent to you. Let's use Dr. Pat's tools. And I'll be somebody else. Hey, Andy, you know what? I have some things, you know, so-and-so hurt my feelings and stuff. I want to tell you what he did, blah, 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 blah. Are you available to listen for a couple of minutes just so I can get it off my chest?
Hey, Sue, I'll give you 10 minutes, but I only have 15 to give you. But at the end of that 10, can I get 3 to maybe give my input?
What happens? Oh, sure. I'll take whatever information you can give me. I'm not sure if I'll use it, but it's always good to hear an input. And then I'll go blah, 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 blah. And then I'll say, I might ask you, well, he did this and that. And everybody else says I should dump him, but I don't want to dump him. What do you think I should do? We've had like so many years together and you know, I know he met wrong. I know he hurt me, but all of my friends now want me to dump him. And now I'm embarrassed that if I stay with him.
I would pull out my trusty little quarter, my coin, whatever.
Oh, okay.
And say, okay, I'm going to flip this coin. If it comes back heads, you got to stay with him. If it comes back tails, you got to never see him again. Say goodbye.
Well, I don't know if I like that. If I go back with him, what do I tell my girlfriends when they don't like to see me with him and they tell me if I go back with him that they don't want to be my friend anymore because they see that he's not good for me?
That's their choice. If they don't want to be your friend, now you know something about their character.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can decide where the boundaries are, how much you want to share with them or not.
Well, do you think there's a way that I could get him to not do what he's doing to me all the time?
No.
There's any way to talk to him? Yeah.
Either accept him as he is or reject him as he is. Which do you want to do?
Well, I know he doesn't mean to do it. He just has a lot of pressure going on and stuff. He always says he's sorry. Is there anything that I could say to him? Or, you know, I don't want to ruin, you know, 5 years that we've been together over this one, you know, a couple of incidents.
Well, you also have amigo talk where you can ask him. So you're the feminine, right, in this relationship?
I try to be. I do my best. But I do find that sometimes I start pushing into the mothering, which he doesn't like. So I know I do push his buttons at times, which I may be responsible for the outbreaks.
Well, there is a thing called amigo talk. Now I got to look for it real quick.
Oh, I have it on hand too.
Are you interested in hearing about amigo talk where you switch roles?
Well, would I have to get him on board with that, or is that something I could just do by myself?
This is all under your control and your control only.
Okay, so what would that entail? What would I have to do that?
There's two questions you'd have to ask.
Okay.
The first one is to get permission to want, teach, preach, question, or request about your topic. And the second one is to ask, when is it convenient to hear me out today?
So this would be me sharing my feelings, how he hurt me, to try and resolve our issue?
This is about you want to teach and preach.
Okay. Okay. I think I could do that.
So if you want to, as a feminine role, you always have the right to bitch and complain. In general, it's when you get into the teaching and preaching that problems tend to arise. But it's still always good to say, hey, I have a negative feeling. Are you willing to hear it?
Okay. And okay, so I would say that. And then he did something to hurt my feelings. So at that time, would I share that?
Then you have another set of tools. You can either address it in the moment, which is called a stroke and stand about feeling uncherished.
Okay.
If you cannot do it in the moment and you have to wait until, like, say the next day or the week after or whatever, there's a thing called a five-step cleanup, which is the same as switching roles plus a stroke and stand. So we just went through the switching roles, and the stroke and stand is what you do in the moment. And then if he does not want to talk to you and stays silent, there's a tool called validation, which is to flush
the body. I use that one where I say, I sense that you're upset with me. Am I right? By you're not wanting to talk, am I correct? It's flushing out what I see that he's doing.
Right. And then how many answers are there available for him to give you?
I'm fine. And then he could say, yes, you did this and that. And really, is there only two answers? He could say, I'm fine, or no, I'm not fine. You did this and this and this. And
well, there is a third.
What would that be? I forgot.
The third is he says nothing.
Oh, and he says nothing. And nothing, anything other than a yes is a no. So I assume that if he says nothing, he is upset. And then I would probably say, well, if there is anything I did, just let me know.
Well, I would suggest that we don't assume anything. We say, you have every right not to say anything to me. I'm going to answer for you. You're upset. The answer is yes.
Okay.
And since there's nothing I can do to help you right now, when you want to talk, let me know. And then you walk away. That's the end of your commitment to that argument. And then if he wants to come back and talk to you, hopefully you're open to communicate. Otherwise, it is no longer your responsibility why they're upset.
Okay. That's a hard one.
Yeah. This stuff is mostly for bad days. But it works.
So I do offer ladies groups. I'm starting up a new group in October. I have openings. So if anybody out there listening wants to be a part of my ladies groups, I limit it to five ladies in each group. Each lady gets 15 minutes to share, and it'll be meet once a week, different times, and it will be $100 a month, limited to five ladies, and I help guide you through with Dr. Pat's communication tools. I help you duty date. I work with my ladies when they're out dating, how to be feminine and stay in your feminine, how to communicate using Dr. Allen's stroke and stand, five-step cleanup, the amigo talk, how to get into exclusive relationships, and how to build into a long-term committed relationship, hopefully headed towards marriage. And Andy, tell us what you are going to be doing with your men's groups, for your men or other. You can also do ladies groups too if you're available.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
A lot of ladies like it. I have you come into my ladies groups. Sometimes they like the male perspective.
Yeah, I just really like to address the immediate problems first.
Okay.
And then once the most immediate problems, the closest alligator, are satiated, then we can work into long-term maintenance of mental health. So, and start learning the tools on what to do in everyday scenarios. But the first thing we do is fix your problems as best we can.
Okay.
Or at least give you tools to do it.
That sounds good. So we're running out of time. Unfortunately, we didn't get any callers. But hopefully, if you are not able to call in and you want a question answered, you can always email me at the office at info@drpatallen.com. And we'll answer your question on the show. And then you can listen to it in the archived recordings. So I want to thank you, Andy, and we'll be back next week. You want to say anything to the audience on closing?
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, audience. Be well.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Bye. You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.